Jaume Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivichacharya Asadrasatashi Shimar is one grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shira Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jaume Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivichacharya Asadrasatashi Shimar is one grace. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Shira Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Shira Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prince Gosi Krishna Chaitanya. Tri Sri Radha Krishna Gobogobinat Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavandam Ki Jai Mathuradam Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapuram Ki Jai Ganga Mi Ki Jai Jamuna Mi Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Shri Radha Prabhupada Ki Jai Tri Radha Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Radha Prabhupada Ki Jai Gopamanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shiguru Shigaranga. Nama Om Vishnu Varaya Krishna Prasaya Gudari Shimada Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tsunami. Namaste Stardari Devi Gauravani Pracharini. Nirvisisa Sanavari Vazachari Zatarini. Narayanam Namaskriptya. Naram Chaiva Narotamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato jayam udirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our Armina conquest, let us first offer our respectful obeisances unto Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Nara Narayana Rishi, the Supreme Most Human Being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the Goddess of Learning, unto Srila Vyasadev, the Author. Nasta praeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloki Bhaktir Bhaveti Naishtiki. By regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome within one's heart become practically destroyed to nil, and loving devotional service, which is offered to the Supreme Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I think the reason why the verse is not on the board because it's too long. So I'm just going to recite it one time myself. And then we're going to go to the translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Eshu purushanam ayuta purushayur varshanam deva kalpanam nagayuta prananam vraja sanhanana bala vayo moda pramudita maha sorata mituna vyavaya pavarga varsa dritaika garba kalatranam Tatra tu tretra yuga sama kalo vartate. In these eight varsas, so this is Canto 5, Chapter 17, text number 12. In these eight varsas, or tracts of land, human beings live 10,000 years according to earthly calculations. All the inhabitants are almost like demigods. They have the bodily strength of 10,000 elephants. Indeed, their bodies are as sturdy as thunderbolts. The youthful duration of their life is very pleasing. And both men and women enjoy sexual union with great pleasure for a long time. After years of sensual pleasure, when a balance of 1 year of life remains, the wife conceives a child. Thus, the standard of pleasure for the residents of these heavenly regions is exactly like that of the human beings who live during Treta Yuga. Please repeat after me. In the eight varshas, or tracts of land, human beings live for 10,000 years according to earthly calculations. All the inhabitants are almost like demigods. They have the bodily strength of 10,000 elephants. Indeed, their bodies are as sturdy as thunderbolts. The youthful duration of their life is very pleasing. And both men and women enjoy sexual union with great pleasure for a long time. After years of sensual pleasure, when a balance of 1 year of life remains, the wife conceives a child. Thus, the standard of pleasure for the residents of these heavenly regions is exactly like that of the human beings who live during Treta Yuga. There are four yugas: Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. During the first yuga, Satya Yuga, people were very pious. Everyone practiced the mystic yuga system for spiritual understanding and realization of God. Because everyone was always absorbed in samadhi, no one was interested in material sense enjoyment. This is in Satya Yuga. People were absorbed in samadhi, so they were not interested in material sense enjoyment. During Treta Yuga, people enjoy sense pleasure without tribulation. So now they got down into sense pleasure, but there was no tribulation in Treta Yuga. It's getting more and more heavy after that. Material miseries began in Dwapara Yuga, but they were not very stringent. Stringent material miseries really began from the advent of Kali Yuga. Another point in this verse is that in all eight of these heavenly varshas, although men and women enjoy sex pleasure, there is no pregnancy. Pregnancy takes place only in lower grade life. For example, animals like dogs and hogs become pregnant twice a year, and each time they beget at least half a dozen offspring. Even lower species of life, such as snakes, give birth to hundreds of young at one time. This verse informs us that in grades of life higher than ours, pregnancy occurs once in a lifetime. People still have sex life, but there is no pregnancy. In the spiritual world, people are not very attracted to sex life due to their exalted devotional attitude. Practically speaking, there is no sex life in a spiritual world, but even if sometimes it does occur, there is no pregnancy at all. On the planet Earth, however, human beings do become pregnant, although the tendency is to avoid having children. In this sinful age of Kali, people have even taken to the process of killing the child in the womb. This is the most degraded practice. It can only perpetuate the miserable material conditions of those who perform it. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gananjana Sarakaya Chaksuran Meditam Gena Tejmai Sri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My special master has opened my eyes to the torchlight of knowledge. I offer him merciful obeisances. So I'm from Sharanagati, Canada. And I came here because my daughters are here. Otherwise, I don't think I would have come here ever. But it's a very pleasing place, very beautiful, wonderful place, Radhadesh. I have a big castle like this. It's like kind of special, isn't it? You can actually understand Krishna's opulence become manifest in Radhadesh. You know, the opulence of riches and power. It's like a little bit like in the Mahabharata kind of thing. So I'm very happy to be here in your association, and I'm actually the one benefiting from your association, and thank you very much for that. So here we are talking about basically the great entanglement of the material world, which is sex life, basically, along with other bodily pleasure that comes with living inside a material body. So there's different a region of Krishna's creation in this material world. There's a lot of variety. And we're on the Earth planet, but all the planet, all the stars in the skies, they're a place of residence for demigods, sages. Many varieties of life are existing on higher planets. So here we get information of the life, well, actually on this planet, but a little bit. Sometimes these eight varshas are hidden. We cannot perceive them on a higher plane. But in the previous verse, it says that these varshas is actually Kashmir. It says that in the previous verse. But whether it's in Kashmir or somewhere else, the people there, they have a different mindset, mentality, and existence. And it's very difficult for us to understand what's really going on up there. Like, we get information from the Bhagavatam, which gives us an idea. But to really understand, really, in truth, what's really happening there, it's difficult for us. In Nectar the Devotion, it's explained that to understand the behavior and dealings of the inhabitants of the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, from our conditional state of understanding is very difficult, maybe inconceivable for us. That's what the Nectar Devotion says. It's inconceivable for us to understand the dealings of the inhabitants of the spiritual world. But we're trying to get an understanding of what it is by talking about it from the Bhagavatam. So when we read this verse, we may think, oh, wow, they're so fortunate. You know, they can go up there and enjoy sex life as much as they want. There's no trouble. Wow, this sounds very wonderful. But actually, they're less fortunate than we are, in one sense. Because, as we know, up there, if there's no impediment to material sense enjoyment, then what is the impetus to give it up, right? Like, people don't have any trouble enjoying, so why should they stop enjoying? What is the impetus? Sometimes knowledge is the impetus. They have a lot of knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Well, they don't need material impediments. They can stop, right? Out of having knowledge. So, but the tendency maybe is to go on for a long time. Like Mani, Griva, and Alukuvera, they were like that. They were becoming bewildered, but then the sage Narada Muni cursed them, and very shortly they got back to their spiritual life. So on the Earth planet, in Kali Yuga, there's a lot of impediment to sense enjoyment because it's difficult to maintain a life of sense enjoyment more than other ages or other planets because there's a lot more impediment in this age. So somebody wants to enjoy his senses, he has to really plan it out pretty good. You know, he has to find a job, get an education, find a decent job to earn money, and then he has to, you know, find somebody, and then they find a place to live, and then they have a city they live in, a company they work for, and then they get involved, or they get entangled. And then there's a lot of anxiety. They can lose their job. Something can happen. They can lose their mate. They can go away. So there's so many problems. And many people, they just say, well, I don't want anything to do with it. You know? And they enjoy unrestricted sense enjoyment in other ways. Without becoming entangled with wife, children, family, they just become like animals. And they say, oh, I want to do everything on my own. Without bothering having any responsibility, I'm just going to live like an animal, basically. So, so it can act in two ways. We can become discouraged by this Kali Yuga. We can become disappointed, discouraged, and not want to act in it. You know, we want to. But in Krishna consciousness, there's another understanding of that we can use this entanglement to free us from the entanglement. Yuktavairagya. We can, because the desire in the heart may be too powerful to renounce all of a sudden, so we take the other path, which is becoming involved maybe with a family, but in such a way that guided by the spiritual master, we will execute things in such a way that instead of becoming more entangled, we'll become more free. So, therefore, a devotee has to surrender. Either he surrenders this way or that way, but he has to surrender. Either he says surrender as a brahmachari, or he surrenders as a grihastha, surrender as a sannyasi or as an apostle. He has to surrender. So what does it mean, surrender? Well, you have to do everything that's favorable for the development of your spiritual life. You have to give up everything unfavorable. And then you have to see Krishna as your only maintainer and your only protector. And you have to follow in the footstep of the advanced devotees. So there's a certain way we have to surrender, because when we join Krishna consciousness, we're contaminated by Kali Yuga atmosphere. And these anarthas are inside our heart, and we have to conquer over them. But the strength to conquer over them will come only from the spiritual master's mercy. So we have to surrender. I mean, we have to take up some duty and perform it and not give it up. You know, like, we have to be serious, right? We have to be serious. And it's not easy to be serious. In Kali Yuga, we're not very serious. Like, when I was maybe 20 years ago or 25 years ago, I was a Gurukul teacher in Lake Ontinden, New York. I was from Canada, but they wanted a Gurukul teacher to be trained up to start a Gurukul in Canada. So I was chosen to do that. So I moved with my family in New York State. In the countryside, there was a property there, and there was a Gurukul, international Gurukul. There was 115 children and about 40 adults. Like, there was cooks and pujaris. There was a temple there. There was ashram teachers. There was day school teacher. And we formed a little village, and that was going on. And it was central, because the place was in New York State. So there was, not far away, there was Boston and New York and Washington, D.C. and Chicago, Detroit, and it was like central. And there was children from Germany, South America, Canada, United States, like that. But in my ashram, I had 12 children. And about, I think only two of them had the mother and the father together. The 10 other ones, the father left. And therefore, the mother became a teacher, right? So she could take care of her child. So almost all the teachers in Lake Ontinden, the female teacher, were women who were not taken care of by their husband, who looped, basically. You know? And they had chosen this form of service so they could help their children and help themselves. So I realized that almost the whole school was like that. That the children that were there were orphans. Their parents didn't stay together, and they were devotees. So therefore, we can understand it's not easy to take up an ashram, like Brahmacharya ashram or whatever ashram you take. It's not easy. So, why do we become successful? Why does people succeed and people fail? Ultimately, even those who fail will succeed in the end, because they will develop a higher taste, and that higher taste will bring them back, hopefully. But basically, it requires some determination to pursue the path of your ashram, whatever, because the difficulty will come. Because the material energy will try to interfere, right? Material energy interfere, try to deviate us, try to discourage us, tries to pull us away. So we have to struggle. We have to be strong and fight again. Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness declaration of fight against the material energy. So sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's more difficult. Sometimes there's no problem, everything's fine. there's no difficulty. In some other time, it becomes like a country road full of pothole, hard to drive on. So, but regardless of if it's an easy road or a rough road, we have to stay on the road and go on. And the power to do that will reside in our devotional practices, how much we understand the science of Krishna consciousness, how much we apply it practically, how much we execute it enthusiastically. Like, for example, in a nectar of instruction, it is explained that enthusiasm is described as how you can execute Krishna consciousness within the material atmosphere, how you can utilize the material energy that you have around you in such a way that you will serve Krishna with it. So it kind of goes together. Like, for example, if you're a Grihastha, you have to provide certain material elements for your family, right? But what if they're not there? Like, when I was in Lake Huntington Gurukul, I had 3 children, and I had a service, but the facility were not there to really develop. I mean, they were young children, so it was easy to take care of them. But when they grow more and more, the condition may be more demanding. So, but they may not be there. They may not be in your particular area you're in. The temple you're in, they may not have gurukul, they may not have place, they may not take care of children, they may not have a job for you, they may not have any of these things, right? Because ISKCON is a young, some places maybe they have these things, but maybe not all the time. So then the enthusiasm will be that, well, you're going to have to expand ISKCON yourself. You're going to have to find a job yourself. You're going to have to build a house yourself. You're going to have to build a community yourself when you can help your children. If it's not there, you're going to have to do it. So that's like the pioneering spirit of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If it's not there, we don't complain about it. We work to get it, right? We try to solve the problem as an offering to Krishna. Instead of saying, okay, well, none of these things are there, I'm fed up with all this, I'm just going to leave, right? This is like too hard, and I don't get enough for what I do, and then my wife's always complaining, my husband's always complaining, and it's not the right person, it was an arranged marriage, not the right person, so, well, I think I'm going to leave, but no, that's not, Krishna doesn't say that in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that you have to do your duty and you cannot give it up prematurely, and you cannot do away. You have to go through it. You have to do it. You cannot say it's not for you, or, you know, I was not meant for that, it's not my propensity. Whatever excuse you give may not be the right one. So we cannot act on emotional, mental platform, but we have to act according to what Bhagavad Gita says. Intellectually, we have to understand what Krishna says, and then we have to, you know, okay, forget the rest, forget my mental emotion, mundane emotion, and bring myself under control, and what does the scripture say about this situation? And then try to, with the help of other people, try to apply what the scriptures say. And Krishna will help. So, therefore, so in Sharanagati is a place like that. In Sharanagati, the place where there's a rural community, there's 2,000 acres, and there's 2 lakes, and there's wild animals there. I'm not talking about the kids, but it's wild animals. There's bears, wild bears. There's deers, coyotes, rattlesnakes, crows. What else? There's horses, but the horses are the children there. They all have horses. They ride around freely, 2,000 acres. 2,000 acres, but around there, there's nobody. There's crown land, like the land belongs to the government. There's forests everywhere. There's no neighbors. Neighbors, you have to go 20 miles away to have a neighbor, a karmic neighbor. So there's like really secluded place. And but there's the devotees, they own their house, they own their land. It's a corporation, we can say. And there's a temple there, a community temple, but people also have deities in their homes. And there's a school, a gurukul, with deities and teachers that are our own teachers, devotee teachers. And the school is recognized by the government. And there's animals, horses, cows, everything. So, and it functions. You know, people function there. They take care of their responsibility, whatever the responsibility is. Some are, there's brahmacharis there, there's grihasthas. And we have to be enthusiastic about fulfilling our responsibility of executing our duty in Krishna consciousness. But what I'm saying is that even if the facilities are not there, then we can still act to produce it, to do it. Like this place was done for that reason. And it fulfilled its purpose. Me, I had moved there 20 years ago. And I had 5 children, and 3 of them are married. And Jai Shishirara Gopina. And my son, he lives there. He has a house there. Actually, he's the president of the corporation. And I have another daughter, elder daughter, that is in charge of the gurukul with her husband. And I have another daughter that finished building her house also. And then I have these 2 daughters here. They were creating too much problem in Sharanagati, so we sent them here for... proper, but then we heard it also causing problem here. No, they're doing good. So but that's the idea. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Right. So, like Prabhupada tells us often, it's not like because Krishna is God that he's going to do everything for us. We also have to show him our enthusiasm. Like Arjuna, he didn't want to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. And Krishna says, you cannot do that because you're my friend and you'll be very greatly dishonored if you do that. You have to take up your weapon and get up, give up your weakness of heart, and you have to fight. So that's the idea. We have to fight, right? So sometimes the fight will take the form of building a house or building a gurukul or moving somewhere to take care of your family. Sometimes it may be something different. Sometimes it may mean that you have a problem with your character, like you have some anartas and some other you have to conquer over them, and that's your duty. So how does that happen? How do we overcome weakness of art and anartas? How do we deal with that? Well, one thing for sure is that whatever anarta we have in our heart, we put it there ourselves. It's not like because it's Kali Yuga, I got this anarta put on me. Because outside there it's all contaminated, and I became contaminated, and it's there the reason why I'm contaminated. It's not exactly like that. So we took on the anartas ourselves. Like we make a conscious decision. I'm gonna start smoking cigarette, or I'm gonna start drinking, I'm gonna start having illicit sex. I'm gonna start. We made a conscious decision of doing these things. But therefore, if we made a conscious decision of doing these things, we can also make a conscious decision of rejecting these things. Because it started from us. The anartha started from us. So we can also, starting from us, we can reject it. So that is the process of Krishna consciousness. That not that we have the power to reject it ourselves, but we can take strength from the spiritual master's mercy. And if we put enough, if we put down enough service that is sufficiently pleased with us, then eventually we'll get her the required money, we can say, the spiritual coins that we can pay to get free from the anartas, right? So if the spiritual master is not sufficiently pleased with us, we may remain the way we are. But if we render service enthusiastically, that will add up and it creates a momentum and a strength that will help us overcome our weaknesses of heart or whatever difficulty we have. We will get the strength. So we have to kind of a little bit, sometimes we want to analyze psychologically our anartas, and we like thinking about them and trying to deal with them and understand where they come from and what to do with them. But sometimes it's good to forget about all that and simply engage in devotional service. Like sometimes we cannot figure out our problems either. Sometimes our problems are very complex and we cannot figure it out on our own, and we become kind of discouraged by them. Not everybody, not all the time. I'm not talking that this is going on with everybody all the time. But if it is going on sometime with you, then you can take it. you can learn something from what I'm going to say. So, one way to deal with shortcomings is to engage ourselves in devotional service in a way that will become absorbed by our devotional service. Like, we're going to become so much absorbed in devotional service and we'll become so enthusiastic about the service we do that we will suspend for a moment the meditation on our material condition. Like, we'll be, okay, whatever. I can't deal with it, so let me engage in devotional service. So we take up a service, and then we engage in our service very enthusiastically. And then after a few years of total absorption with a lot of physical labor or mental labor or a lot of labor, after a while, we remember, yeah, well, what about these anarthas I was talking about? What happened to them? And we go back, and the problem is not there anymore. The situation has transformed itself, and it's gone, right? Because we forgot about it, and we became absorbed in spiritual life, and then, well, we forgot ourselves in spiritual life, and then we go back to the material side. It's just not there anymore. The problem has dissolved itself. So it's not always good to pay attention to material problem. Sometimes the solution is to engage in devotional service. Like Prabhupada gave an example that sometime you may be near a river and you want to drink water, and you bend, and then the set of keys falling down at the bottom of the river. You know, my keys, I got to find my keys, you know. And then you go there and try to find the keys, but then you move the mud. That's the bottom. The mud comes up. And then you definitely can't find your keys anymore. So Prabhupada says, so you have to let the mud settle down, not agitate anything. Let the mud settle down, and then you'll find your keys again. So he said, if you have a problem of any kind, sometimes what you have to do, you go in a temple and you sit down and you chant Hare Krishna. You know, don't think about trying to find a solution right now. Just chant Hare Krishna. And then when you chant Hare Krishna enough, this confusion and this disturbance will settle down. And then you'll find a solution after. So a devotee will always try to take shelter of Krishna, whether it means to do this or to do that. A devotee always try to put Krishna on his side. And even if there's difficulties, pain or whatever, he thinks that, okay, well, this is problem, but this problem is put there by Krishna, because it forces me to think of him more.
Right.
He puts it there because I'm too much in the bodily concept and he wants to help me come out a little more. That's why he puts this problem. So I can take shelter of him more. And if I do take shelter of him more to solve my problem, I'll make some advancement. So we don't rebel against material problem. We don't complain and we don't rebel against them. We try to see that Krishna is the controller, the supreme controller. He is the controller of all time, places, and circumstances. And beside that, he is all-powerful. He knows what's going on. He's omniscient. He's in our heart. And he knows what's going on. And he's all-powerful. He can't do anything, anytime to help us. And he wants to help us. Like he says, I am the friend of all living entities. Right? Suridam Sarvabhutanam. I am the friend of all living entities. So if he's our friend, he's all-powerful, he's omniscient, and he's the master of time, places, and circumstances. If there's a material problem, it's not that he doesn't know about it, but he may put it there for another reason. Maybe to help us focus on him more. So we accept it like that. So we say, well, this condition is put by there by Krishna, so I have to hang on to my side, you know. Like, it may be hard, but he's testing me, you know. Like, he wants to know if I'm going to make the right decision and if I'm going to remember him. And he wants to know if I'm fixed in my vows, four regulative principle, 16 rounds. He wants to know that even if he takes thing away from me, will I go back to sense gratification to forget my misery? Or will I just tolerate it and go through it? So he wants to test us, right? He wants to know. He wants to know where we are, and he wants us to know where we are. Because in time of trouble, we can also find where we are. Like, we may chant all we want, but if there's a difficulty and we freak out, then we know where we are, right? So sometimes Krishna will take away things so we can see who we truly are and what we're made of. So we have to prove to him that we are a candidate to receive his favor, that we want to stay there so we can go into the next level, right? And there's an example of this. The great example of this is Bali Maharaj, who had conquered the whole universe, and then the whole universe was taken away from him by Krishna's trick. But even though everything was taken away, he didn't budge. He stayed in his vow. Okay, Krishna took everything away, and now I'm defamed by my wife and my friends and my guru. They're all against me, and I whatever I had, I lost, and I had a lot. I had everything, and he took everything away. But he thought that, well, if he's Vishnu, we're supposed to give him everything. He was a devotee at heart. So he thought, well, Vishnu is challenging me. I'll show him what can I do, what I can do. So he surrendered further. He said, okay. So you took everything with two steps. Okay, well, you can put your third step on my head. In other words, you can own me also. You took all my possession, but you can also take me. So then everybody was shocked by what he did. And even Lord Vishnu was shocked. He told him, okay, funny guy. I'm going to send you to hell. But it's actually the heavenly lower planets. It's heavenly Vargas in the lower planets. So he went to the planet Sutala. And Lord Vishnu told him, okay, I'll be your doorkeeper. You can go there with all your family members. You can stay there. And the next when you come up, you'll become the next Indra. But not right now. Right now, you stay down there. And relax. Be happy. And I'll protect you from your enemies. I'll be standing at the door of your palace. Anybody comes, I'll be there to check him up. Check him up. Check him. Don't have to worry about anything. And actually, some people came. Ravana went there. Ravana wanted to conquer the whole world, the whole universe. So he went to the lower planets
And he wanted to defeat Bali Maharaj, but then there was a doorman. A doorman was there, Krishna. And he couldn't get through the door, through the doorman. He couldn't get through the doorman, so he forgot about trying to conquer Bali Maharaj. So as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So it's like a game, you know, like a game. Like Krishna's challenging us, and we have to play the game in his own term. Sometimes we want to play the game in our term, but it doesn't work very good. There's a certain way to surrender unto him. And sometimes we don't really know what is the next step. What does he want from me, you know? I don't know. It's too confusing, you know? But he will help us. And Krishna is also the unknown. Like sometimes we always want to know everything. Like we always want to know everything, you know, because we want to feel secure, right? We want to feel secure about our life. That I want things to go on like this, like this, like this, like this, because I don't want any problem. But why? Why does it have to be like that? Because what happens if you make your life very secure? It becomes boring also, right? People want to live a secure life, so they find a job in an office, government office, and every day they take the train, every day they go to the office, every day they do the same thing. They have the money is in the bank, everything, but then they become bored. It's so boring, you know, so boring. So then they go parachute jumping, bungee cord jumping, or they do terrible thing, you know, so they can not be bored anymore. They want some thrill. I can't stand being bored like this. I have to find some thrill. So they do material things to find their thrill. So in devotional life, we want the element of surrendering to the unknown, the unpredictable. Because Krishna is always going to be there. And he doesn't want us to be bored. He wants us to be happy. Be thrilled by his devotional service. So we can go ahead, you know, we can go on a ride with Krishna, devotional ride. We don't have to be fearful. Krishna can do all kind of wonderful thing. Another example of that is maybe the last example, then I can stop here. Give some time for question. Or maybe I can stop here right away. Okay. Have any questions, comments about what I talked about? Yeah? Thank you. How to reconcile being too disturbed? It's too disturbed that we cannot execute our service, and being too comfortable, we become bored. Right? Is that your question a little bit? Well, in between, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what to answer. We don't have to look for excitement. It comes by itself. Right? Yeah. But sometimes there's no unknown. Like, your situation is very secure. You know, like, I'll give you an example. Me, I had a vegetarian lunch program in Vancouver for 12 years. I was living in Sharanagati, but I had two vegetarian clubs at two different universities in Vancouver, and I was maintaining my family by
by selling prasadam, cooking prasadam in a temple kitchen, and I would transport the food to the university. At a book table, and distributing prasadam. So when I was doing that, there was no problem. My children were young, you know, and they were going to school in Saranagati, and I have my house there, and all I had to do was cook and go to the university and do that service, be steady with that service. I kept it for 12 years. So I had no mental problem about what am I supposed to do next or whatever. Everything was fine. Right? Financially, it was fine. And my kids were okay, you know. My wife was okay. I was okay. Everything was okay. Then after 12 years, everything became not okay anymore. Many different ways that I couldn't stop. I couldn't prevent any of these things that happened. One thing that happened is after 12 years, things changed at university. Now there was a, you know, Pizza Hut and Tim Horton and whatever. I don't know what kind of stores you have here, but those are food stores. And that was like all around me, you know. I lost my customer. And then university decided to charge me money. Before that, they were not charging me any money because I was part of a club. Now I decided to charge money. They wanted $5,000, you know. Wow. That's all I tried to do that, but after 1 year, I went bankrupt. So then I lost. I lost the club, right? I couldn't function anymore. It was impossible. And I tried to keep it going, but it was not possible. And then my kids were growing up. Now they were out of school. And the situation became totally changed. And now it became the unknown. What am I going to do now? You know? And I'm still there today in the unknown. But anyway, I'm not too worried about it because Krishna is there and will help. And things are, many things happen without my control. Even good things happen without my control. I don't have to do everything, you know. They come to the Supreme Controller and I have to do everything. Many things happen without me thinking about it. So sometimes we don't need to look for the unknown. There's no unknown. But if the unknown is there, then we have to understand that Krishna wants me to move on. It may not be clear right now, but it will become clear later. There's always a future. A devotee always has a future, right? There's no calamity that's so great that the devotees think, oh, I'm done now, I'm finished. There's always the next day, you know. There's always the next morning, the next day. And something will be there, whatever it is, right? In the material world, everything will be over. The karmis, when they at the end of their life, it's over for them. They think it's over, right? But a devotee, even when you lose everything at the time of death, you know it's not over. You're going to die. You're going to be on your deathbed. And then the people will be chanting Hare Krishna around you. And then you're going to die for half an hour, you know. And then when you're done dying, then you come out of your body, right? Now I'm done dying. And what's next? Right? And then you're out there. Then you see your people around the bed. And you see your dead body, you know. And then okay, what's next? And then you go... You go somewhere else. They take you somewhere else. And then there's something else happened there. Whatever it is, right? So for a devotee, there's no really unknown. He's always scared sometimes of the unknown. But there's no unknown anywhere in the universe, Prabhupada said. There's no void. There's no place where Krishna's not there. Krishna's always there. So we have to let go. We have to have a faith. Even though there's the unknown, but to have faith, Krishna will be there. And sometimes it requires that we be with devotees so we can gather our courage. If you're alone in your house, you know, then the unknown will creep on you, you know. The unknown will get the better of you. So you have to, in order to strengthen your mind and be protected, sometimes you have to move yourself to a better association. If you don't find that you're doing very good where you are, you may be in the same place where you've been 20 years, but now the situation has transformed itself, and it's not favorable anymore. So then you have to move on. You have to go to another place where it's favorable. So that's surrender also. to realize, well, I can't stay here or it's not working anymore. So now I have to surrender to Krishna and do the thing that will be favorable for me. Maybe it means I have to move somewhere else and do something else. And then we do that, and then Krishna is there to receive us at the new place. So, in other words, we cannot take shelter of our material emotion and mind, but we have to take shelter of the process of surrender to Krishna. Okay. Any more questions? Yeah. When we chant, when we don't chant, everything is in the dark about ourselves, where we stand. Everything is like in the dark, right? In the dark. If you walk in a room in the dark, you may hit the chair, you may hit things. The first thing that happens when we chant, the lights start to come up and you start to see the obstacle in the room. Before that, we don't see the obstacle. We're not aware of the obstacle or the anarthas we have. We're unaware of them. But when we chant, we become aware of the anarthas. And sometimes we don't take care of them. We'll put them in the back burner, you know. But then Krishna will put them right in front of our face, and then we have to deal with them. Now, we have independence. At all time, we can decide whatever we want. So we always have to make the right decision under any circumstances. So when we're confronted more rigorously with our shortcomings, Krishna wants us to tackle them, to take them on, to tackle them, not to hide from them anymore. And he wants us to be courageous and tackle them. Sometimes we fall into anxiety, mental anxieties, when we delay tackling the problem, addressing the problem. We'd rather be in anxiety, because this way the problem is solved. We absorb an anxiety, and we don't deal with the problem. So when we're in anxiety, it means we're not really dealing with the problem we have. So we have to find out, what is the problem I'm hiding from? So then we bring the problem, and then we try to find a solution to it. So, it's explained that if we chant with offenses, what happens is the anarthas won't go away. You know? Even though we're offensive chanter or not completely purified, we keep on chanting. And eventually, we get the strength to understand our problem. And we get released. A little bit like an example is, it's a true story actually. You may be a criminal, you know, and you put in jail. That was a criminal like that. He was falsifying documents, falsifying checks, and falsifying bank deposit, and he would get money, you know. He knew how to read checks and how to cheat people. They imitate the check and write the signature. So he was caught, and they put him in jail 20 years. He had to sit 20 years in jail. And one day, after a couple of years, he was in the office of the jail keeper for some reason. And then there was a guy there, a jail guard. They had checks on the counter, but they didn't know which one was real, which one was false, because they didn't know, you know. But the criminal said, "I know which one's real, which one's false." This one, the border there, this inks, you know, like it disappeared in the light. This is the wrong one. This is the wrong one, you know. So, oh, okay. And they found all the wrong checks and all the good ones. So then they brought more checks. Well, if you found this one, why don't you find this one too, you know? So then they started to work for them inside the jail. So he was an offensive person who committed offenses against the government, and he was put in jail for 20 years. But now, inside the jail, even though he was an offender, he started to serve the government inside the jail. And one day, the government came, and they told him, okay, how long have you been in jail? 7 years. Well, you can go. You can go now. Because the service he rendered to the government exceeded the offenses he made to the government. So we may have offenses in our heart in a chanting, but if we serve, one day the service part will overcome the offensive part. And Krishna will say, okay, you can go now. You can be relieved from this, relieved from that. You pay the price. You don't have to wait. So that's the idea, that even though we may have problems, our solution is to serve Krishna enthusiastically, even if we have problems, because our service will conquer that problem. Like that. So there's great hope in Krishna consciousness. You know, take shelter of Krishna. Okay, we can stop here. Thank you very much for letting me talk about Krishna. Haribol. Jai.